Hi everyone, this is Father Jim Churn, and you're listening to the Pope Benedict XVI School of Prayer podcast, where each week we're unpacking the Holy Father's catechesis from back in 2011 when he did the series on the School of Prayer, as he called it, and it's basically laying out all the foundational principles of the life of prayer. And this week we're in week 13, and the psalm providentially, as I'm recording this on Holy Thursday afternoon, was focusing on Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I don't know if I've said this already before, so if I did, then take this with a grain of salt, but this is probably my favorite catechesis so far that the Holy Father has offered. There's something, and again, it might just be the providential aspect of it, that this falling during Holy Week, and when our focus is on the cross, on Jesus' crucifixion, and remembering him citing this psalm from the cross himself. But one of the things that I really appreciated about that and was how the Holy Father drew out a lot of these beautiful lessons that I remember when I first learned it was really mind-blowing to me. I don't know how many times growing up I had heard homilies or sermons where they referred to Jesus's dying on the cross, uttering this word of the psalm, and talking about Jesus feeling abandoned and how he experienced this desolation from the Lord God, and that so we can relate to that, and that if it even happened to Jesus, then we shouldn't be surprised that that happens to us. And I can't recall how I felt about that at the time when I heard those things. I guess, you know, maybe it made it more relatable and made Jesus seem much more accessible to me. But it also created probably an image of God the Father being distant. That when I first learned in seminary that's not at all what's happening. That's not at all what's happening in the psalm, and that's not at all what's happening on the cross. It was really mind-blowing to me. Our professor was our Old Testament professor, especially. I remember him being a very colorful and very dramatic priest, who's now actually a bishop. And he would do an hour and 50 minutes of lecture, would usually do a 10-minute reflection at the end where he would tell us to put our pens and papers down and just to kind of listen as he did a reflection on Scripture. And when he went off on this psalm, he said, "If I ever hear you preach about this incorrectly, I'm going to hunt you down," or something along those lines. So that definitely got our attention in the course. And when he made us read the entire psalm, and we recognized that it's not completely about desolation, it's not completely about abandonment, it's about the feelings of abandonment. And not saying that those feelings aren't real or authentic or legitimate, and that, you know, people don't have a right to express those things, but the bishop's point and what the Holy Father does so beautifully is he interweaves how you can have more than one feeling and emotion at the same time. You could be feeling one thing but also know the truth of the reality that I'm feeling abandoned, but I know I'm not. I'm feeling this separation and this isolation, but I know God is with me, and that's the heart of a praying person. That you constantly are navigating those realities, that you're confronted with awful things that are happening, things that don't make sense, evil that is inflicted on us, and seemingly without any rhyme or reason, and you're feeling this complete desolation and wondering, why did God allow this to happen? You know, why does God permit good people to suffer evil things? And then in the next breath, though, to recognize that God didn't do this. And to remember the truths of the reality, like, well, we have free will, and this person has free will, and we know it's a much more complicated issue. And yeah, that doesn't answer my prayer right now. It doesn't negate my feelings, and I can still have that raw emotional reaction, like, where are you, God? You know, where I'm just crying out. And I think that when you understand the fullness of that, it makes the psalm even more powerful, because it's a real cry, but we hear in that desolation and in that suffering, that flame of faith is still there. Whether it's David who first uttered this, or whether ultimately it's Jesus uttering it from the cross. And that, you know, that's one of the things that the Holy Father captures so well, too, is that in this cry, the praying man of our psalm calls the Lord my God at least three times. So it's in this moment of complete sadness and desperation that he hasn't lost sight of the fact that this is still my God. And that even though I feel forsaken, I know I'm not. And that's why I can still call out to him and see him as my God. The other part of it that's connected to that is just the reality that the psalmist and Jesus is teaching us from the cross, that you go back and forth where you're recognizing your present dilemma, but you don't forget the past. The memory of all the things that the Lord has done in your life is so important, especially in moments of trial. It's one of the things that usually when I'm working with people for spiritual direction, one of the things I highly encourage them to do is something that has been very powerful in my own life, and that's starting the day with listing three things that I'm grateful for. It's something that I start every holy hour with. And it's before I can do any prayer. It's before I can go rant about anything. It's about before in my intercessions and intentions that are on my mind, or things that people have asked me to pray for. I have to think about three things that I'm grateful for. And sometimes they're trivial, like this is a great cup of coffee. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my coffee maker. I try to dig a little bit deeper than that and have a little bit more depth. And that's why I think I have to come up with three. And obviously I don't have any particular rules about it, but I think there's something really profound about that, in the sense that I've noticed in my own heart and mind, there might be days that I'm waking up and I'm just troubled by things. I'm upset about something that's happened, or I'm anxious about something. And that I just can even feel it first thing in the morning. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that has those emotions and reactions. You feel like you walk up on the wrong side of the bed. And there's something powerful about looking at my prayer journal, seeing that section where it's listed gratitude, and trying to come up with those three things and saying, like, I really want to just get to the point where I can rant right now. But it's almost like the Lord is saying, we can get there, but we need to start with things that you want to remember. And the powerful point about that is that, yeah, I still have those things I'm anxious about. I still have those things that might even depress me or trouble me. But I'm coming from it with the perspective of a very good and loving God who's there and has not abandoned me. And that does change not only the direction of my prayer, but also moves my heart, that I find that some of those feelings that I might have been having difficulty navigating before don't seem as overwhelming or as troubling to me at that point. So that it's just something else that just came to mind as I was reflecting on this passage. So that's what I have in terms of reflections and a lot of ramblings here today. but as you all know, as I mentioned, it is Holy Week. So I do have a lot of other work that I need to get to. So those are my thoughts and ramblings today. I hope you have a blessed Triduum, a blessed Easter for those who are listening to us as I'm posting it. If you're getting this early, I would highly encourage revisiting Tuesday's podcast, where we hear the catechesis from the Holy Father himself. Particularly as we enter into these days. I'm not telling you to go correct your priest if they happen, or priest or deacon who might cite that psalm and have an incorrect interpretation, but now you know what's actually true and accurate. So anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for your support, and God bless you.